All right, so today we're going to be looking at this it's a really fascinating case, Covey Ullman.
Yeah.
And it's interesting for a lot of reasons.
Absolutely.
But one of the biggest is just how old the actual law is that we're talking about. We've got a Connecticut law from 1879 that was still in effect in 1961 when this case went before the Supreme Court
Yeah, and it's
and
still
still making contraception illegal.
it's just wild to think about. We're talking about a law that predates the invention of the car by a couple of decades,
Crazy.
and it's still trying to dictate what people can and can't do in their own homes.
It's mind-boggling. And what really gets me is that we've got these court documents and analyses
Yeah.
that show us the human impact of this law. You know,
Right.
we're not just talking about some abstract legal concept.
No, absolutely not.
These are real people with real lives.
Like the pose. I mean,
Yeah.
can you imagine?
The pose, they tragically lost three babies.
Three babies to congenital abnormalities.
To congenital abnormalities.
It's just heartbreaking.
And then to be told by the law that you can't prevent that from happening again.
Yeah.
It's just,
It's almost impossible to fathom.
it's hard to even process.
Yeah.
And then we have Jane Doe.
Right. Another plaintiff.
Yeah, her health was so fragile that another pregnancy could have been life-threatening.
It was a serious medical concern.
And their doctor, Dr. Buxton, he firmly believed that contraception was the best medical solution.
As any responsible physician would in that situation.
But he was trapped by this legal web spun over 80 years prior.
It really highlights the conflict between medical ethics and these outdated laws.
So what did this 1879 law actually say?
Well, it's almost comical when you think about it today,
Okay.
but it banned not only the use of contraception, but even giving advice about it.
So a doctor couldn't even counsel their patient
Exactly.
on family planning options.
It was a complete gag order.
It's hard to believe that was ever the law.
It really shows how much our societal norms,
Yeah.
have evolved.
But you know, it's interesting.
What's that?
Our sources show that this law was almost never enforced.
Right. It was basically a paper tiger.
There was only one recorded prosecution,
Yeah.
and that was way back in 1940.
A single case in over 60 years.
So why bother challenging it in court then?
Well, the plaintiffs, the Poes and Jane Doe,
Right.
they wanted what's called a declaratory judgment.
Okay.
So basically, they were asking the court to say whether the law was
I
constitutional
see.
without anyone actually getting arrested.
So like a preemptive strike.
Exactly. They wanted a clear answer,
Right.
not to live under this constant threat
Yeah.
of being prosecuted just for seeking medical advice.
So did the lower courts entertain this request for a declaratory judgment?
No, they didn't.
They didn't.
They dismissed the case and sent it up to the Supreme Court.
And what did the Supreme Court do?
They declined to hear it.
They declined to hear it.
Yeah.
So even the highest court in the land wanted nothing to do with this controversy.
Yeah. It all boiled down to justiciability.
Okay.
Justice Frankfurter, he wrote for the plurality, and he argued that there was no real case or
At least it
controversy.
wasn't being enforced.
Exactly. It was like the court was saying, this isn't a real problem yet.
Right.
Come back when someone's actually in trouble.
So it's a classic example of the law lagging behind
Right.
social change.
Absolutely.
But didn't one of the justices offer a different perspective?
Yes. Justice Brennan,
Okay.
he agreed with the outcome,
Mm.
but for a different reason.
Okay.
He focused on the difference between individuals like the Poes seeking contraception
Yeah.
and, say, a birth control clinic operating openly.
So he was drawing a distinction between personal use
Yeah.
and organized distribution.
Exactly. And that seemingly small point
Yeah.
will become very important in just a few years.
I sense some foreshadowing here.
You got it.
But before we get there, let's talk about the justices who disagreed with the court's decision.
Oh, yes. Justices Harlan and Douglas. They wrote these really fiery dissents,
Yeah.
arguing that the law was a blatant attack on marital privacy.
Regardless of whether it was being enforced,
Exactly.
they believed doctors should be able to advise their patients
Right.
without fear of prosecution.
Absolutely.
It does seem like a catch-22, though.
Yeah.
You have to break the law to prove that it's unconstitutional.
It's a real dilemma.
Harlan's dissent was particularly powerful.
Oh, absolutely.
What made his argument so compelling?
He basically said that it was ridiculous
Quote.
to force a couple to risk jail time
Right.
just to challenge an unjust law.
Yeah.
He really hammered home the point that the threat itself,
Okay.
even without enforcement, was a
Yeah.
violation of fundamental rights.
So Poe v. Ullman, it seems like a defeat at first glance, but it sounds like it set the stage for some major legal battles to come.
It was a crucial turning point.
Yeah.
Think of it as the quiet before the storm.
Okay.
Poe may not have struck down the Connecticut law, but it did set the stage for a huge shift in the legal landscape.
For privacy rights.
Exactly.
Okay, so how did Poe set the stage for what came next?
It all comes down to how the cases were presented to the court. In Poe, it felt like they were being asked to rule on something hypothetical.
Yeah, like a what if.
Right. But Griswold had an actual prosecution.
Okay.
The state of Connecticut actually went after a Planned Parenthood clinic.
For providing contraception.
Yes, exactly.
So Griswold had that case or controversy that the court was looking for.
Precisely. It's almost as if the court in Poe forced the issue.
Okay.
By refusing to give what they saw as just an advisory opinion.
Yeah.
They made sure that the contraception question would come back.
Uh-huh.
But in a much more concrete way.
And when it did come back.
Yeah.
They were ready to make a decision.
They were. And it reshaped the legal landscape of privacy rights in America.
It's amazing to think that Poe was a stepping stone to that.
It really was. Yeah. And we can't forget those dissents, especially Harlan's. Those dissents planted the seeds for the privacy rights arguments that went all the way to Roe v. Wade and beyond.
Wow. That's quite a legacy for a case that seemed to go nowhere.
It really shows the power of legal reasoning, even in dissent.
Yeah. Sometimes those dissenting voices are just ahead of their time.
Absolutely.
Speaking of powerful dissents, I think we need to give Justice Harlan his due.
Yes. His dissent in Poe v. Ullman was something else.
What was so compelling about it?
He got right to the heart of the issue.
Okay.
It was the state intruding into the very personal lives of married couples.
Mm-hmm.
He argued that criminalizing marital intimacy was just government overreach.
It is interesting how the majority opinion tried to avoid the whole issue.
I know they focused on the lack of enforcement.
Right.
But Harlan wasn't going to let them get off that easy.
What did he say?
He said that even without enforcement, the law itself created a climate of fear and uncertainty.
And that violated a fundamental sense of privacy. So he was saying that the chilling effect on personal liberty was enough.
Yes, that alone was enough for the court to step in.
And he didn't just criticize the law's policy.
No, he went further.
Okay.
He started creating a legal framework for marital privacy as a fundamental right.
Wow. That was a bold argument for 1961.
It was almost a decade before Griswold officially recognized the right to privacy.
So it sounds like Harlan was ahead of his time.
He was. He was laying the groundwork for a major legal shift.
And his argument wasn't just something he came up with.
Right.
He connected it to existing American legal traditions.
He did. He drew on Supreme Court precedents that valued individual liberty.
When it came to family marriage and raising children.
Exactly. And he argued that those traditions should naturally extend to the most intimate parts of marriage.
Including the decision of whether and when to have children.
Yes.
So Harlan's dissent in Poe helped pave the way for Griswold and all the cases that followed.
It did, and it expanded privacy rights in all different areas of life.
It's amazing how one dissenting voice can have such a huge impact.
It is. It really underscores that even losses can be victories in disguise.
Poe v. Ullman is more than just a legal puzzle.
It's a reminder of the power of ideas and how legal arguments can have a long reach even in defeat.
There's another layer to this case that I find really interesting.
What's that?
The court's emphasis on justiciability and their refusal to issue advisory opinions.
That's a key part of Poe.
It gets to the core of how the Supreme Court sees its role in the legal system.
Let's break it down for our listeners.
Okay.
What exactly makes a case justiciable?
Yeah, and why was the court so hesitant to address the Connecticut law?
Well, justiciability basically sets the limits.
Yeah, okay.
For the types of cases that courts can hear and decide.
So not every dispute needs a court's attention.
Right. One key factor is whether there's a real case or controversy.
Oh, mean.
There has to be a real conflict between parties who have something real at stake in the outcome.
Not just a theoretical disagreement about the law.
Exactly. You need actual people with actual interests on the line.
Not just a hypothetical legal debate.
Right. And that's where advisory opinions come in.
Okay.
The court doesn't want to rule on hypothetical questions or look at the constitutionality of laws in a vacuum.
So they want a real fight, not a theoretical one.
Exactly. They want to see a genuine legal brawl before they step into the ring.
And that's why they dismissed Poe v. Ullman.
Yeah. They felt the plaintiffs hadn't shown a real threat of prosecution.
So the law not being enforced actually hurt their case.
It did. They needed to show a real danger.
To challenge the law.
But that was hard to do because it wasn't being enforced.
That's a fascinating point. So the court's focus on justiciability had a real impact on how privacy rights evolved.
It meant that the fight over contraception would have to happen somewhere else.
Where there was a real controversy.
Exactly.
And that was Griswold v. Connecticut.
Yes. The state's prosecution of Planned Parenthood.
Gave the court that conflict they needed.
To finally deal with the issue directly.
But Poe wasn't just a procedural bump in the road to Griswold.
It wasn't.
It sparked important questions about the court's role in protecting individual liberties and the balance between judicial restraint.
And addressing potential constitutional violations.
That's a tension that's still relevant in legal debates today.
Absolutely. So we've really dug into the legal specifics of Poe v. Ullman.
Yeah, the arguments, the dissents, the whole justiciability debate.
Right. But now I think it's time to kind of zoom out a little.
Yeah, look at the bigger picture.
And see where Poe fits into this whole fight for reproductive rights and privacy in America.
Because this case landed smack dab in the middle of a really turbulent time in American history.
It did. The civil rights movement was gaining steam.
Yeah, challenging all these old social and legal norms.
Right, and the women's rights movement was also finding its voice.
Pushing for more equality, more autonomy.
Exactly.
So Poe wasn't just about contraception.
No, it was part of this much larger social and legal transformation.
It was reflecting this growing awareness of individual rights.
Mm-hmm. And a challenge to traditional ideas about what the government could do.
Especially when it came to personal and family life.
Right.
And the fact that the court basically dodged the issue in Poe, that probably just added fuel to the fire.
I think it did. It forced these advocates for reproductive rights to get creative.
Yeah.
To find new ways to get the issue back in front of the court.
And that's where Griswold v. Connecticut comes in.
Exactly. Griswold gave the court that concrete controversy they needed.
To finally address the Connecticut law.
Head on, and Griswold really built on the foundation laid by Poe.
Especially Harlan's dissent.
Yes, and it finally established that constitutional right to privacy.
That extended to marital decisions about contraception.
It's pretty amazing to think about how those seeds planted in Poe, even in defeat.
They blossomed into this landmark victory for reproductive rights.
It's a testament to all those people who kept fighting for change.
And Griswold was just the beginning.
It was the right to privacy that came out of Griswold.
Right.
It became this cornerstone for so many other landmark decisions, like Roe v. Wade legalizing abortion nationwide, and Obergefell v. Hodges guaranteeing the right to same-sex marriage.
And all of that goes back to that seemingly insignificant case from 1961.
It's remarkable, and the impact of Poe goes way beyond just the courtroom.
How so?
Well, it really shifted public opinion about reproductive rights and privacy.
Okay.
Which helped pave the way for more social acceptance and access to contraception.
So it wasn't just about changing the law.
No, it was about changing hearts and minds, too.
And those changes are still relevant today.
Absolutely.
As we face new challenges to reproductive rights and privacy in this digital age.
Right. Poe v. Ullman might seem like ancient history, but its legacy is still alive in this fight for individual autonomy.
For control over our own bodies and lives.
Exactly.
It's a powerful reminder that even cases that don't win right away can still have a lasting impact.
They can shape the legal and social landscape for generations.
Well, I think we've really explored Poe v. Ullman from every angle.
I think so. We've gone from the procedural details to the bigger historical and social context.
And we've seen how a case that looked like a dead end turned out to be a major turning point.
For privacy rights in America.
It's been fascinating to trace this legal history.
It has.
And to see how the law isn't just a set of rules frozen in time.
Right.
It's constantly evolving.
It is.
It's shaped by social movements, by legal arguments, and by the people who are brave enough to challenge the way things are?
It's inspiring.
Well, thank you for walking us through all of this.
My pleasure.
I think our listeners are going to come away from this deep dive with a whole new understanding of how legal history works.
I hope so.
And how these seemingly quiet cases can make waves that reach far beyond the courtroom.
They really can.
And to our listeners, we hope this deep dive into Poe v. Ullman has made you curious about how privacy rights have changed over time.
Mm.
And inspired you to keep exploring these fascinating twists and turns in legal history.
Because they really do shape the world we live in today.
Until next time, keep asking those tough questions.
Yes.
And keep diving deep into the legal issues that matter most.